Good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder and this is BRN AM for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. And here are our top stories. Back to school is stressing parents and students' finances and peace of mind. And the new payroll tax holiday is a major tax headache for federal and military. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Tara Falcone. She is the founder of Rise Up. Tara, always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So let's dive in because I love your expertise and experience with helping those in college, but also the military aspect. And we're going to save the military aspect for the second part of the show. Let's talk about these financial stresses that many Americans are feeling and schools are back in session. What are students feeling? What are parents feeling right now?
Well, I can speak specifically to the college experience because that's the primary audience that we serve. It's really interesting. I mean, the students are being incredibly resilient, but I would say they're also getting very creative with how they are going about their studies. So while many of them may not have seen a decrease in tuition, a lot of them are finding creative ways to save on things like room and board by studying remotely in a kind of a fun, cheaper location. So I know many students that have actually banded together to kind of get, you know, a large Airbnb, let's say, in, you know, somewhere in the middle of the country where it's pretty cheap to stay. And they're splitting the cost altogether. And they're kind of having this like cool, you know, college house where they're all, you know, taking their classes online and saving money at the same time. So that's part of the way. But I do know there are a number of, you know, I mean, majority, I think, of families around the country who are really struggling with just the increased costs that they're incurring with regard to education. So that can come in the form of, you know, having to increase or pay for higher internet speeds, for example, just an ongoing cost. But then also all of these additional technology costs that they're now having to incur if their schools are not providing, you know, access to that technology. I know many schools are providing laptops or iPads for students to use, but some are not. And so, you know, many families are having to go out and purchase those things. And then, you know, additionally, either increased cost of daycare or childcare so that those students can study remotely, or in many cases, one of the parents has had to decide to leave their job so they can stay home with the child while they are doing remote education. And unfortunately, I think that's going to have a longstanding, lingering impact specifically on, you know, women's wealth going forward, because they're the ones, I think, shouldering the brunt of this work.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think there is a clear issue here. If women are doing some of the child or a lot of the child rearing and even educating, right? A lot of people who have families have to devote time away from work and studying and teaching the children, and women are, as you said, overwhelmingly put in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think my husband and I were talking about it. We do not have children yet, but if we did, I would sort of be the clear person that would have to stay home with them and make sure that they were getting their work done because he's in the military. You know, the military is not very forgiving with allowing that service member to stay home and ensure that their child is getting the proper education. So that, you know, that responsibility would fall on me. And I think that's really the case that we're seeing around the country in many families is that, you know, essentially the person who earns the most income, which, you know, just so, you know, in our society, unfortunately, with the gender wealth gap, is generally the man in the relationship. They're the one that is continuing to work while, you know, the mom is the one that's staying home and taking care of the children. And so, you know, I don't know what we're going to do going forward. Unfortunately, that none of those things or support for those things haven't really been in any of the legislation that's been passed or is being considered to be passed. So it's an interesting predicament for sure. And I know that educators especially are doing the best that they can. You know, they don't want to be in this position either. They would much rather be in the classrooms teaching their children. But, you know, unfortunately, with distancing guidelines, that's not possible right now.
Are you seeing, Tara, you mentioned the resiliency of these kids, and it's absolutely amazing, especially those, and maybe not college-age kids, but millennial generation who underwent the Great Recession. You know, and certainly they've had to be resilient on two occasions and probably will continue to have to be. But, you know, it's amazing to see the resolve that kids have in dealing with all these extraordinary circumstances, including banding together to live in a house. I hope it's not like Animal House, if you recall the movie with John Belushi, but I hope it's a little bit more refined than that.
It's much more refined. At least the students that I have spoken to, one of them is in Hawaii, for example. The group of them have gotten together and they're staying in this like big, beautiful house in Hawaii. And it's crazily enough, much cheaper than staying on campus. And so, you know, I've been working with her remotely from Hawaii and they're doing great. And I think that it really speaks to this generation and just how quickly they've had to adapt to everything that has been thrown their way. I think technology and the advancements that we've experienced as a generation have kind of prepared us for that, right? Things just move so fast. Things change so fast. So we're, you know, we are very adaptable, kind of chameleons, if you will. But it's a doozy that our generation has been handed between the first recession and then student loan debt and now this. It's not the best place to be in, that's for sure.
No, it's certainly a lot. And in terms of your, I don't know, I want to call them coaching sessions. I don't know if that's the right terminology. But in terms of the sessions that you have with these kids, obviously a lot of it's, most of it, all of it's virtual. How are they feeling mentally? Do you talk a lot about the mental health of these people? I know that's not your area of expertise. You're mostly focused around finance, but there's a mental element to this, Tara.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, the first module in our Lit curriculum, which is our virtual financial literacy curriculum, is money mindset. So we talk a lot about kind of the attitudes and feelings that we have toward money. And that's the, in our syllabus right now, that's where we start our year off. And so we have loads of students logging into our platform, watching those videos, rewatching those videos, commenting about how they're feeling about, you know, their money now versus last year, for example, and how that money mindset has shifted. And really, it's all about defining what you want and then putting a plan in place to get there. And for me, specificity really squashes uncertainty. That's what I teach them. So if they're feeling, you know, really uncertain and kind of scared about their financial future, I tell them the best thing they can do is define their endpoint. Wait, where are they trying to go? And then figure out a plan to get there. Make those steps much more digestible. And all of a sudden, you'll start to kind of calm down and it'll feel much more manageable versus this, you know, big, crazy, scary thing that's swirling in your head.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, this is maybe not as good analogy, but I've heard Navy SEALs talk about their training, and they talk about how do you eat an elephant? It's little bites. And I think that for all of us, it can be so overwhelming if you had this pile of debt, or you're trying to think about what you're going to major in, or where you're going to take your career, or how you're going to get promoted. It's breaking it down into little pieces that you can manage and achieve. And that way you don't kind of set yourself back mentally towards your goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the people who have either just graduated or in their senior year now, I've been kind of advising a lot of students in that time frame for them. And many of them are sort of like, you know, what do? I can't get the job that I have, you know, gotten a degree for, but I could get this other job that, you know, pays me less, but, you know, still gives me some experience. And I'm telling them, just take the dang job, right? Just get through this year, get some skills. Like anything is better than nothing on your resume to start. And frankly, you know, that first job out of college, once you get 10 years out, really doesn't mean a whole lot, which in where they are in life, it seems like it's the biggest thing possible, but kind of providing that perspective to them that like, hey, this is just a drop in the bucket, you know, in the time span of your life. And, you know, the most important thing right now is to have a bit of stability, have a paycheck, and to be acquiring skills. So even if it's not, you know, the dream job you hoped for right out of college, you know, it is still a step forward.
Yeah, as my Aunt Sylvia would say, this too shall pass. Sylvia Goldstein, she was a great aunt. Tara, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you know, we're going to talk about the payday holiday and the impact on service members. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? especially for the smaller businesses. I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
The windows on our homes, they protect us and the ones we love, but they do much more. At Renewal by Andersen, making your home more comfortable is at the center of every window we make. It's why we custom build our windows in America and install them in as little as one day. It's why we build our frames with exclusive Fibrex composite material that's 2 times stronger than vinyl. It's why our glass helps keep your home warmer in winter, cooler in summer, and quieter all year long. It's why we stand behind every window with a 20-year limited warranty. Why not help lower your energy costs while giving your home and family the best? Call 1-800-835-6525 to schedule a free in-home consultation. Buy one, get one at 40% off with this special offer. Plus, get special financing with no money down, no monthly payments, and no interest for one full year. Renewal by Andersen, the better way to a better window. Call 1-800-835-6525 now.
Welcome back. We're talking to Tara Falcone. She is the founder of Rise Up. Tara, always a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Same to you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So let's shift gears. We talked about the adaptability of Gen Z, millennials, in dealing with this pandemic and how they're learning. It's absolutely amazing. Let's talk about the military, because that's they serve such a vital role protecting us from enemies, foreign enemies, and they're vital to what we do. Let's talk about this payroll tax holiday, because it's not a complete panacea as it relates to these folks.
No, and frankly, it's just very frustrating. We received our first paycheck actually today, and you see that 6.2% increase off of your base pay, and you know that it's just a temporary, it's a Band-Aid, right? The government is trying to do something, for whatever reason, it seems as though they're trying to get cash back into the pockets of Americans, whether it's, to save Christmas in 2020 or whatever it might be. But you know, at least right now, that it's not actually going to be forgiven, or at least that hasn't been pushed through. And so it's just sort of an annoyance to me, right? It's like you have, okay, September, October, November, December, that you're going to see these increases. And then all of a sudden come January, that's then going to be taken out of your paycheck. And so, for many military families, for all military families, you can't opt out of this. So in other private companies, they have the decision whether they want to participate in this payroll tax holiday or not. Government and the military do not have that choice. And so, it's nothing that we have a choice over. We have to participate in this. We have to plan accordingly. Again, we're adaptable. We're used to changing circumstances. But frankly, this is just very frustrating. There are many military families who already are struggling living paycheck to paycheck or on one income or in the middle of a move or whatever it might be. And now all of a sudden you're asking them to also plan basically 5 months down the line to, quote unquote, pay back this tax holiday money and not use it in this current time frame. And, it's just a level of planning and kind of administrative headache that, frankly, we don't need, in my opinion.
No, I think it just creates another layer of planning if you got to pay it back. I mean, what are any advice to your fellow service member families or even service members who are, I know you're not in service, but your husband is, any things that people can do? I mean, do you create like a separate piggy bank or bank account to just take the money and put it over there until you have to pay it back?
Yeah. So I think one of the things I want to make clear is that as of right now, it's not going to be you having to physically write a check to the IRS to pay this back. The plan as of now is for your paychecks in 2021 between January and April to essentially be lowered by that same amount to pay back that money to the IRS. So really what I recommend that people do is siphon off that additional amount, that additional 6.2% into a separate savings account. That way, when your paychecks in the beginning of 2021 are lower, you can then move the amount that you were getting back into your bank account. So it's as if you're getting the same amount every month. You're kind of smoothing it out instead of having this bump now and then this lower amount later. You're kind of equaling them back out as if the payroll tax holiday never existed. What I would caution people not to do is to spend that money, especially if you're the type of family that is living paycheck to paycheck. And that's why I think it's just very frustrating. I think it's this, you know, blanket policy that, you know, frankly, out of touch people in government are making, and really not thinking about the micro level, you know, family by family level of what this is going to do to them and how much planning it's going to require of them. Because if you're living paycheck to paycheck right now, and all of a sudden your paycheck looks larger, and maybe you're not, you know, thinking, or you're not kind of as in the know about why it's larger and then what's going to happen to you 5 months from now, you're probably going to feel, you know, pressured to spend that money or to use it to pay down, you know, debt that you already have or something like that. And then you're going to find yourself in a worse off position come the beginning of the year. And that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, Tara, it's behavioral finance, right? I mean, it's all the things that we talk about in the retirement world and just in finance, you know, it's like the carrot and the stick. And if you give people money, what are you going to do? A lot of people would probably save it, but a lot of people are going to say, look, I've got bills to pay down. I've got student loan debt. I've got a mortgage. I've got a car payment I've got to make, or I want to take my family out to dinner. We haven't been out to dinner in 6 or 7 or 8 months. So, I mean, it just seems kind of counterintuitive to me. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it just seems like the people who are making these decisions don't even have any wherewithal about what the average person out there is thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from a behavioral finance perspective, the less factors you can throw at someone, or the less changes you can throw at somebody, the better, right? The more that they're used to the circumstances that they're operating in and the kind of more expected those circumstances are, the better and easier they are to plan for. And now all of a sudden, like I said, it's like a 4 month up and then a 4 month down. And you know, you're really asking a lot of people, especially after they've, as you mentioned, been quarantined for months, they haven't gone out, they've probably deferred a lot of expenses, and, you know, holidays are coming. And I understand maybe, you know, there are economists in government that are thinking, oh, let's infuse, you know, the American people with more cash and then just take it back later. And frankly, you know, for individuals, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, Tara, always a pleasure chatting with you. Love the, you're kind of like a double-headed monster. I don't even know that's a great way to define you, but we can talk about college and kids and in college and what their finances are, and then we can pivot and talk about the military. Always great seeing you. We'll look forward to having you back on the program very soon and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, and more, all in one easily accessible place, check out today's edition of The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Are you being audited? And do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.